The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Thanks for the emails that continue to come in. I'll give you a few of those here in just a second. If you'd like to respond to the show, send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. Over the weekend, we didn't have this on the website. It was actually a repeat that we played here in the UK, America and Britain in Prophecy, which obviously advertised the United States and Britain in prophecy. This is the first time that we've played this again, so a repeat program for the weekend, and that generated 185 requests for the book all total. I think we got just a little over 100 phone calls, so a really strong response coming in from text messages and also from requests made on the website. 185, so with the trickle in these next several days, we should push up close to 200 total requests for the week. Great to get the United States and Britain in prophecy out to this particular region. Also, last week I got a report from back at headquarters in Edmond, Oklahoma, giving us some of the weekly statistics of the radio program. I know I gave you a fair bit of the stats for the radio. I guess it would have been now the stats from 2 weeks ago. In any event, the weekly stats, from what it looks like, adding the number of people that are listening to the radio program on the live stream, whether it's at the live time right now, 7 a.m. Oklahoma, 1 p.m. in the UK, or during one of the repeat programs that also would be on KPCG. In other words, someone listening to a live stream of a replay that plays at 12 p.m. in Oklahoma or 6 p.m. In any event, through the week, it looks like we get about 150 to 175 listeners that listen to the program that way. I would think most of them are listening to all or most of the programs with SoundCloud, which, as I said last week, that generates about anywhere from 1,000 plays to 1,500 plays on a normal week. It's a little harder to tell how many, particularly those who are seeing the program on the website for the first time, how many of those are then clicking on the link and listening to the entirety of the show. Probably a fair bit less than the people who are listening in live or through the live stream or over the air. But in any event, from what we can tell, it looks like day to day it's about 1,500 or so listeners. And the numbers, if you look at the last 8 weeks or so compared to the first couple of months of this year, that is a nice increase over what we were averaging at the start of the year. The one unknown is how many people are actually listening to the radio signal in North Edmond. Perhaps if you're one of them, you could let us know. Send those comments, send that feedback to td@kpcg.fm. We'd love to hear from you. If you happen to be one who listens over the air on the radio or in the car somewhere there in North Edmond where that low-powered signal is going out. Well, on Friday afternoon, President Obama, in making some comments directed at Donald Trump, he told a pool of reporters that this is not a reality show. This office that I'm in, it's not a reality show. Some sharp rebuke there for Donald Trump. And I thought it was kind of funny. If you heard Friday's broadcast, our program Friday, when we posted that a few hours later, we titled that The White House Reality Show. If you listened in, you remember us going through Ben Rhodes, this foreign policy guru for the White House, and how that he, particularly with respect to the Iran nuclear deal, was there to just write a good piece of fiction. As if this is some kind of a reality show. And then a few hours after that broadcast Friday, here comes the President of the United States correcting Donald Trump, saying, this isn't a reality show. I mean, this isn't entertainment. You've got to be serious. You've got to be serious about this job. You've got to be serious about these responsibilities, says a president who many would say too often is not very serious at all and is really, really a big promoter of entertainment, popular culture. A few responses to that show that we had Friday. Thank you for shedding light on Ben Rhodes. Had never heard of him, of course, because, quote, he was invisible, because he's not an egotist, and because he's devoted to the president. That's a quote from the New York Times article. This listener went and read that article and pointed out that he's just humble Ben working behind the scenes, revising history on the fly. This listener says, wow, sure hope you'll keep shining the light on things going on here below. We, and me especially, sure need it. We sure do. We need the truth. We're living in an era of lies and deception. And the Bible backs that statement up. Satan has deceived the whole world. Where do you go for truth, for sanity? Where else can you go? Another listener responded with this, a truly excellent program today, so true that we, God's people, can confidently look at what's going on in American politics and the world and know that God is in charge of it all. What a blessing. Relaxed faith. The statement you made about Donald Trump exploiting the media world he helped to create was like a ray of light. So, so true. His popularity is inexplicable unless you know and understand prophecy, history, and true human nature. And then she adds here at the end, thank you and the KPCG staff for all the hard work. I listen live every morning. She's on the east coast of the U.S., up there in Connecticut. I listen live every morning from 7:30 a.m., that's Eastern Standard Time, to 9:30, except to 10 on Wednesdays. So if you know anything about the programming, that would include the play of The Key of David, my father's program, the audio from his TV show, then the entirety of this program, The Trumpet Daily, and then the program that follows this one, whether it's Live by Every Word or just The Best Literature, Sun Also Rises, I might be forgetting some of them, but then she listens a little bit longer on Wednesday, well, because that's when The Trumpet Hour goes for an hour. So seven, that's quite a routine. I mentioned the lady from Australia that reckons she's listened to every single one of the Trumpet Daily radio shows, every single one in the past year. Well, here's another award winner. That's quite a routine each day. Get the kids ready for school and then lock in as you carry on with those responsibilities at home. I know so many of our most devoted listeners are homemakers. Stay-at-home moms who are very, very busy working at home and in some cases listening to quite a lot of KPCG programming. One final response here. It says, this program of the fiction and lies of the Obama administration and the lies of the media, so much shockingly horrible truth for America. But when you said that we don't have to be overly concerned knowing God's plan, it reminded me of the Walter Cronkite of years ago. He says, you really grabbed my attention with your sincerity and heart-to-heart pointing the listener to God. Keep up the good work. Well, this work truly is a beacon of truth in a world of deception and lies, in a world of darkness. I mentioned the president's remarks Friday afternoon. Here's what he said in that press conference on Friday in regard to the candidacy of Donald Trump.
He has a long record that needs to be examined. And I think it's important for us to take seriously the statements he's made in the past.
He needs to be examined. All the statements he's made in the past. We need to look at that long record. He needs to be vetted, says the president who was never vetted. He needs to be vetted. This is, notice what else he said.
But what I'm concerned about is the degree to which reporting and information starts emphasizing the spectacle and the circus. Because that's not something we can afford.
Well, and that's true. But the same would apply every election cycle, would it not? And yet that's all that it's turned into. Every 2 or 4 years, we see the same thing. The focus is always on the spectacle and the circus. But here again, coming from President Obama, one that so many in the media even admit that they didn't vet. And when you consider all of his radical associations, former mayor Rudy Giuliani, he pointed out some of these radical associations in an interview last year with the New York Post. Talked about how that since he was 9 years old, President Obama was influenced by Frank Marshall Davis, who was a communist, a Marxist. A Marxist. So here is a man that, well, he rose to some prominence and leadership there in the city of New York. Was very popular for a time. I mean, he rebuilt much of the city after 9/11. He introduced a lot of policies that reduced crime and such. But he's a pretty outspoken critic of President Obama and his associations with Frank Marshall Davis, with the teachings of Saul Alinsky, Black Liberation Theology, Jeremiah Wright, Bill Ayers. Giuliani told the Post, he doesn't talk, speaking of Mr. Obama, he doesn't talk about America the way John Kennedy and Ronald Reagan did, about America's greatness and exceptionalism. He was educated by people who are critics of the United States. And how did the news media respond to Giuliani's criticism? Well, they ridiculed him. The White House press office, they came out and said, it's just sad. Somebody that's attained this kind of stature, we feel sorry for this poor, pitiful fool who's out here pointing out all of these disturbing associations about a man that the media even admits that they don't know much about. And really so much of it is right there in the president's two books, particularly the first one, Dreams from My Father. We've played this for you recently, but notice what Tom Brokaw admitted in 2008.
We don't know a lot about Barack Obama and the universe of his thinking about foreign policy.
Yeah, we just don't know. We don't know, but we sure think he should be president. And look, President Obama had the full force. Senator Obama had the full force of the mainstream media behind him. And his presidency, or his candidacy to be president, it was, if ever there was one, it was a media circus. It was a spectacle. You talk about reality television. It's pretty amazing. And yet, many people today, even to this day, would just scoff. They'd scoff at the notion that the current president of the United States has any connection whatsoever to Marxism. And yet he studied under Marxists. He praises Marxists in his autobiography. Isn't that incredible? The current president of the United States has ideological roots that are far more radical than Donald Trump. They're far more radical than the general public has been led to believe. Because instead of reporting the facts, the major media has been hard at work erasing them or concealing them. Again, look at the example. Look at the way the current administration operates. Look at the way the foreign policy guru approaches his job there in the White House. Look at the way another young gun, Tommy Vitter, I think his name was, just a couple of years ago, when he was on the news being interviewed about what happened the night of Benghazi. And he said to the reporter asking the questions, "Dude, that was like 2 years ago." That's another foreign policy guru. Responsible for shaping the narrative. Responsible for changing the talking points. Not an attack, it's a demonstration, you see. Not an attack, it's a demonstration. Not an attack, it's a protest. And then they made the rounds. And they repeated the narrative over and over and over and over again. Notice this next clip from the president. This is clip 3.
I just want to emphasize the degree to which we are in serious times, and this is a really serious job. This is not entertainment. This is not a reality show. This is a contest for the presidency of the United States.
And I can't disagree with that. But I also have to point out that's a perfect example of the pot calling the kettle black. These are serious times. This is not entertainment. It's not a reality show. And yet, here Ben Rhodes is bragging. He's bragging about telling lies. The New York Times is comparing Ben Rhodes to a producer who creates a popular TV show. I read this to you on Friday. Rhodes' innovative campaign to sell the Iran deal is likely to be a model for how future administrations explain foreign policy to Congress and the public. It's likely to be a model. When we're doing it, it's, of course, this is what we must do. And remember when the New York Times asked him, well, now what if another administration that doesn't think like yours, what if they use the same model? Well, now that would be a concern. We'd be scared by that. Oh, yes. So who can you trust? Who can you trust? Where are you going to get the truth in a world of deception and lies? It says here, this is the New York Times piece, the way in which most Americans have heard the story of the Iran deal presented, that the Obama administration began seriously engaging with the Iranian officials in 2013 in order to take advantage of a new political reality in Iran, which came about because of elections that brought moderates to power in that country, was largely manufactured for the purpose of selling the deal. That's what it was about. As it turns out, it was all manufactured to sell the deal. And the Times points out that the particulars, the details of that narrative were misleading and false. Misleading or false. But that's okay. Hey, this is a great story that we have to tell you. This is the story of an aspiring novelist who became Obama's foreign policy guru. That's the title. This is a heartwarming story of a novelist, a fiction writer, who suddenly became the foreign policy guru of the United States, the White House. This from the New York Times. Again, I read this Friday. It says, in the spring of last year, legions of arms control experts began popping up at think tanks and on social media and then became key sources for hundreds of often clueless reporters. We created an echo chamber, Rhodes admitted. When asked to explain the onslaught of freshly minted experts cheerleading for the deal, they were saying things that validated what we had given them to say. Let me just repeat that. This is a quote from the foreign policy guru inside the White House. They, these experts, were saying things that validated what we in the White House had given them to say. Let me just play that clip again from the president, clip three.
I just want to emphasize the degree to which we are in serious times, and this is a really serious job. This is not entertainment. This is not a reality show. This is a contest for the presidency of the United States.
That's right. It's not entertainment. It's not a reality show. He said on Friday, May 6th. The next day, isn't this interesting? He gave a 45-minute speech at Brown University talking about rap singers, and he said Beyonce rules the world. Got a good cheer out of the graduates at Brown for that one. Told them that they should try to be like the pop star Prince, who recently died. Model their lives after Prince. Nobody knew what he was doing. Nobody could understand what he was doing, but people loved him. So you go out and do the same thing. Follow in those footsteps. It's pretty amazing, the cult of celebrity that follows this administration around, and just the repeated references to popular culture. In the interviews that they've had with people that, well, they're not even really reporters, not in the traditional sense, and even there's problems with them, as I've been pointing out the last two programs. But how low can we go? So many of the actions have been beneath the office of the presidency. Beyonce rules the world. But hang on a second. We got to be serious, Mr. Trump. We've got to be serious. This is not entertainment. This is not a reality show. This is the President of the United States. That's the office that you're running for. Well, as I say, it's just looking at the words, it's hard to argue with that. And when you see what's happening in the world today, in particular, if ever there is a time to be serious as a world leader, as a president of the United States, now is the time. As far as that speech the next day, it's Howard University. I think that's close to the president's home area around Chicago. It's either in Indiana or Iowa, I forget. But in any event, he gave the commencement address there on Saturday, I believe, and he definitely took time during that speech to talk, as he often does, about just how awesome everything in the world is today, how it's just a better place, not just better since 2008 when he took office. He's been saying that quite frequently, but notice what he said at this speech at Howard University.
America is a better place today than it was when I graduated from college.
So it's better today than it was in 1983. We've just seen decades of progress, 83 to 93 to 2003, 2013. We're here in 2016. 33 years of growth and development and progress. And not just America. It's not just America. Notice what he said next.
So America is better. And the world is better, too.
Everything's better. Everything's awesome. Everything's improving. Never mind the unfathomable debt that's been added to the U.S., some $10 trillion. And no wonder so much of the populace is disgruntled, searching for answers, flocking to a populist that's making big promises that he's not going to be able to keep. And look at the moral decline since 1983. Look at the breakdown of the family, the decline of marriage, the epidemic of fatherlessness, the crime in our streets, the destruction of our cities like Detroit, the violence in Chicago, in Baltimore, the race riots, the protests, the assault on America's Constitution, the lawlessness in America's streets, the lawlessness at America's southern border, the assault on authority and discipline, on the justice system. Everywhere you look, you see this spirit of rebellion, disobedience. And then speaking of popular culture, the insatiable appetite that Americans have for celebrities, for sporting events, for all other forms of entertainment. And then the blindness, the ignorance. Leaders come along and they say, peace, peace. Everything's great. Everything's awesome. And the Bible says, when they say these things, you better be wary. You better be prepared. Notice what else the president said. This is clip number 8.
If you had to choose one moment in history in which you could be born, and you didn't know ahead of time who you were going to be, what nationality, what gender, what race, whether you'd be rich or poor, gay or straight, what faith you'd be born into, you wouldn't choose 100 years ago. You wouldn't choose the 50s or the 60s or the 70s. You'd choose right now.
Right now is the place to be. God says again, beware sudden destruction. When they come saying peace and safety, when they come and say that everything's getting better, beware. Beware of sudden destruction. Notice what else he went on to say. This is going back to clip 6.
America's better. The world is better. And stay with me now. Race relations are better since I graduated.
He graduated in 1983, and America's better, the world is better, and even race relations, the relationship between whites and blacks in the United States, is better than it was in 1983. And then he goes on to talk about all the problems. All the problems in society, all the problems with race, all the problems in the world. I mean, it has to be both. His legacy's on the line after all, so on the one hand, it has to be awesome. It has to be awesome. Because he's turned everything around. And on the other hand, there has to be all these problems that need to be fixed with Marxist ideas and policies. And he's just the man, or his party is just the party, to fix everything that's broken. And it's always something, isn't it? Notice what he went on to say. After saying everything's better, even with race relations, he said this, clip 7.
Remember the tie that does bind us as African Americans. And that is our particular awareness of injustice and unfairness and struggle.
That's what ties all of us together as blacks, he said. How aware we are of injustice and unfairness. How much of a struggle it is. Injustice, unfair, it's everywhere that you look. In the case of whites, the racism is in their DNA, he said previously. So where is this leading? Where are you going to get the truth? Where are you going to get the truth? Where are you going to get God's perspective without an agenda, without a bias coming from a political party? You're only going to get it here. Only from God's work. God's truth. He went on to talk about the problems here again, listing off the problems with race, with the criminal justice system. This is clip 10.
And I'm so proud of the new guard of black civil rights leaders who understand this. It's thanks in large part to the activism of young people, like many of you, from Black Twitter to Black Lives Matter, that America's eyes have been opened, white, black, Democrat, Republican, to the real problems, for example, in our criminal justice system.
Our eyes have been opened to all these problems now because of these groups like Black Lives Matter, and we've talked about this as recently as last week, so I don't need to get into it again. But here again, the truth of the Bible, whether you're looking at Isaiah 1 and verse 7 or 2 Timothy 3, Ezekiel 5, is that these problems, these racial divisions, these race riots, these race problems, they're only going to get worse. My father said this before. I mean, he's pleading with our peoples to listen to him, to fear him. But we've refused to do that. And so the problems are only going to get worse. And when you look at the policies of releasing criminals, of handcuffing the law enforcement officials, you can see, as we've said so often, how it's going to explode. It's a ticking time bomb. I thought this particular part of his speech was fascinating to listen to, because he doesn't typically show that much emotion when he speaks. But here you can sense that the president really does get worked up about how to solve, the way he sees it, how to solve so many of the social ills in our society today. This is clip 9.
We can't just lock up a low-level dealer without asking why this boy, barely out of childhood, felt he had no other options. We have cousins and uncles and brothers and sisters who we remember were just as smart and just as talented as we were, but somehow got ground down by structures that are unfair and unjust. And that means we have to not only question the world as it is and stand up for those African Americans who haven't been so lucky. Because, yes, you've worked hard, but you've also been lucky. That's a pet peeve of mine, people who've been successful and don't realize they've been lucky.
Social justice. We can't lock up the low-level dealers, the drug dealers, he means. We can't lock them up. The system is unfair. The system is rigged against them. Well, Donald Trump has made similar statements. It's unfair. Isn't it amazing how many campaigns or how many platforms or how many political parties, really their main message is motivated by this. It's unfair. It's unjust. And I'm just the guy. I'm just the group. We're just the party to fix all of these injustices, to fix all of this unfairness. But yet, keep in mind, the world is so much better. The world's so much better than it was in 1983. Look at what I've done. Look at the legacy I've left. And yet there are a lot of problems that we've got to fix, and we've got to rise up. And we've got to question the world. And we've got to see that those who've made a success of themselves, they've gotten lucky. The low-level drug dealer, well, he was cheated. He was cheated. There's nothing in here about law and order. There's nothing in here about upholding the Constitution. About whatever your background, whether rich or poor, there has to be a respect for law. There has to be a supreme law that applies to everyone. Regardless of your political affiliation, regardless of your race, regardless of your social standing. You don't hear that much, do you? Not from the White House, not from those campaigning to get in the White House. There's lots and lots of problems. There's so much injustice. There's so much unfairness. But you can be thankful that I'll help you navigate your way through this struggle. Secretary of State John Kerry, he also gave a commencement address Friday at Northeastern. Took a few jabs at Donald Trump as well, saying that we can't hide behind walls. We can't put up walls in this era of modern technology. It would be unwise to attempt something like that. We're living in a borderless world. This is one world. We're here to strip down the borders and just let everyone mingle together. That's the solution. Well, the other side has another proposal. And none of it's working. And then the ones reporting on either side or both, they get it wrong. They come into the reporting with a bias, an agenda-driven bias. Ron Fraser had an article a couple of years ago. He wrote this a short time before he died, talking about how the media keeps getting it wrong. And he pointed out in this piece, it was at thetrumpet.com in 2013, I believe, that the technologies that's there today, it's made a lot of journalists lazy. And you have the impact, the more recent impact of social media. He used the example of the Boston bombing and just how many media types were so quick to report on something that had been circulating on Twitter. It wasn't even based in facts. You have the bias, as I say, the agenda-driven bias. And then, as Mr. Fraser brought out in his piece, the so-called false equivalency, where you've got someone who is under the illusion that he's objective. So in the name of balance, he's got to give equal weight to both sides of the story, irrespective of which side has the truth. The truth doesn't matter. What matters is that both sides get a voice. The truth gets sacrificed in this confusion. The truth, I mean, if it's a sincere agenda that's meant to bring peace and prosperity to the whole world, well, it doesn't matter if you lie your way through to the end of that road. It's justified. Just don't give that model to the other side, though. Then it would be scary. Then it would be frightening. God says the whole world is deceived. The whole world. Paul said the gospel, the true gospel, has been hidden. It's been lost. That the minds of men have been blinded. Jesus said the world's in darkness. He came as the lone light. But the world loves darkness. You ought to read sometime 2 Corinthians 11. versus what, 4 to 14 or 15, I think it is. Paul describes there the great false religious system of Satan the devil and his ministers who come preaching another Jesus, motivated by another spirit, proclaiming another gospel. I mean, it's a whole false system of religion, a counterfeit. That's not meant to broadcast truth. But just like we see in the reporting of political events, so much of the truth is erased, obscured, perverted with a mixture of truth and error, motivated by an agenda-driven bias, false equivalency, as Mr. Fraser said. And so where do you come for the truth? Where do you go to receive truth? In Mr. Fraser's article from 2013, he said the mass media is a profit-making enterprise. As we've witnessed over the past decade, many organs of the press simply went broke as electronic media increasingly took over from newspaper and magazine news publishing. The survivors are those which will either turn or continue to struggle to turn a profit. Too often by dumbing their editorial approach downward so as to cater to a rapidly descending public taste in the interest of maintaining sales. That's Mr. Fraser pointing out what should be an obvious truth. You can see why the reporting is the way it is. You can see why it's so shallow. You can see why they're blinded by bias. It's all about the bottom line, profit. We played this clip for you on Friday. This is Chris Wallace admitting what Mr. Fraser pointed out a few years ago.
A broader question about the campaign itself, a chicken or the egg question. Did the Trump support drive the media, or did the media drive the Trump support by diminishing real estate for other candidates?
Now, I get asked this question a lot. I have to say, I think to a certain degree it became a vicious or virtuous cycle, depending on how you view the Trump campaign. But I think we were followers, not leaders in this. In other words, I think that the reason we put them on so much, and I think we did, all of us, whether it was cable, whether it was broadcast, all of us put them on too much. I think to a large degree it was because every time we did, it spiked the ratings. We were, in a sense, following what the ratings were, which was the response of the public. Having said that, the fact that we put them on so much, it did crowd out, take a lot of the oxygen away from the other candidates. But I think at least the initial impulse was, you know, if you put them on, you get ratings, and we're in the news business.
That's an astounding admission coming from one of the top reporters at Fox News. It's big business. Never mind that it drowns out the voices of others. If there's a spike in the ratings, you can justify putting them on over and over again. Because in the end, all that we're interested in is getting eyeballs on our website, or getting viewers for our TV programs, or getting readers for our publications. We have to turn a profit. We have to sell ads. We have to attract advertisers. And so coming back to this point, where are you going to get the truth? In a world of deception and lies, where do you find truth? Well, for one, when you look at what this work is producing, it's not just the Trumpet magazine that goes out to hundreds of thousands of subscribers each month at no cost to the subscriber. Then you go over to the website, and the only ads that you see, and they're attractive ads that aren't annoying, they're not flashing, they're not pop-out windows. Their ads promoting our own material. Cross-promotion. In-house ads. That's it. And that's all that you hear on this radio station, isn't it? Even the ads are interesting. Even the ads tell a story. Even the ads contain a message. And then you go to the television, and you turn on the Key of David. Whether it's the U.S. one and that my father puts out or the one here in the U.K. And this organization is paying those stations to put our programs on the air. There's no advertising during our programs. There's no advertising generated by our programs. You just go right down the list of everything that this church produces. Jesus said to freely give. Just get the material out there. Give it to as many people as possible. Reach the largest audience possible. And so you know, for one, you know it's not motivated by money. You know it's not motivated by just trying to turn a profit. Then you think about the editorial policy of this work, God's work, and how that we've been publishing the truth. You could say, although there certainly is additional details, that's why you keep tuning in. But you could say it's the same message. It's been the same message for decades. So many of these prophecies that Mr. Armstrong was talking about as early as the 1930s. And anywhere along the way, whether large audiences tune in or not, or medium size or small sizes, it's the same message. No matter how unpopular, no matter how politically incorrect, no matter the degree of opposition to our message, we're not going to dumb it down. We're not going to try to make it more popular sounding. Jesus Christ didn't do that. He came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God as a witness. And he ended up being crucified. Mr. Fraser, in that article from a few years ago, he said the best that they have in the world of modern journalism, the best that they can do is guess. And he was, as it turns out, he was being pretty nice. That's the best that they can do, is just guess. But the worst is to lie and to deceive, to revise the history, in some cases on the fly. Mr. Fraser wrote, "We are not averse to strongly revealing and publishing an actual inevitable outcome of any major world event, even though the facts at the time would seem to point to an opposite result to that which we maintain at the time." The real difference between the mass media guess and the guaranteed outcome to any current event on which we report is due to our understanding of the revelation of Bible prophecy for our times. It's an agenda, if you want to call it that, motivated by the sure word of prophecy. It's God's agenda. It's God's truth. It's the God-guaranteed outcome. It's the message coming from a God who says, "I am the Lord. I change not." In John 17, when praying for the disciples, Jesus said, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. Set these disciples apart, God. Set these disciples apart. Through the truth. Through the truth. Your word is truth," Jesus said when praying to the Father. "Your word is the truth." That's what sets us apart. That's what sets the trumpet apart. That's what sets apart the programming on this station. It's not to say that we're never able to make a mistake. I mean, we're human. But the message is going to remain the same. The message is going to remain the same because it's based on God's truth. Another verse here. This is from John 8. John 8 and verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You shall know. Knowing is knowledge. Knowing is education. But you look at the world today, it's enslaved by ignorance and false education. It's enslaved by the God of this world, who has deceived the world. That's the truth of the Bible. What is truth? Well, we just read it, John 17. God's word is truth. You look into his word and it reveals the laws of life. The only laws that can lead us to peace and prosperity and happiness and joy and fairness and justice. That's what we have to look to. One law, one standard. I read in class this morning here at Edstone, Romans 2:13, God's no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of faith. Doesn't matter the color. It doesn't matter the social status, the race, the religion. What matters is God's truth. And someone who will, if God is working on their minds, John 6:44, if someone who will respond to God humbly before God and start living according to God's word, start living according to God's truth, and their minds will be open to the understanding of God's purpose for man, what an opportunity we have, and what a work this is. To paraphrase George Orwell, he said, in a world of deception and lies, or I think he just said in a world of lies, and I'm inserting my thought here, God's work is the sole guardian of truth and sanity. In a world of deception and lies, God's work is the sole guardian of truth and sanity. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. And the live stream is available at our websites, our advertisement-free websites, our attractive websites, thetrumpet.com and kpcg.fm. As the week unfolds, send us some email. Send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. We've run out of time. There's no time for another segment. So we're going to conclude a minute or two early today and say thanks for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.